generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystal Lynn.
All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, January 16th, 2026. I still have 2026, have the interns put it in like...
big bold.
Yeah, 36 size font in the script here, because... what are we, 3 weeks in? I still... 2026, it's just not... it's not landing right for me. You know, no. If you were to like flash walk up to me and say, what year is it? There's a chance that I would be like, oh, it's 1997.
I'll say, I'm like 2015. Like, it seems wild that we're in the 2020s.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember as a kid thinking, like, how old would I be in the year 2000? You know, and that's 26 years ago. So, yikes.
I was listening to a podcast that they were talking about something that happened in 1929. And it's like, when I was growing up in... you know, high school and stuff, and they would talk about historical things that happened in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Like, we're like, oh, that's not that long ago. And then they're like, 100 years ago. I was like, oh, my gosh, that was.
I know, right? All right. And that's the show for today. this is Ruben. That's Crystalline. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. We're here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio, 100.9 FM, rockin' 1710 a.m., streaming live on KHMB Radio. This is a call-in show, which Crystalline has to remind me of every week. So pick up the phone and call in if any of these topics or anything else is on your mind, 650-560-9851. It's call-in show. Go ahead and call in. That's all right. We don't bite. And we'll listen to what you have to say.
Well, even if we do, you won't feel it over the airwaves.
Good point. Right. You're protected.
You're safe.
Technology is protecting you. So there you go. Go ahead.
Did that pain you to say?
It did. But again, I'm not against technology when there's a purpose for it and it makes sense, which right now, to Silicon Valley, I'm talking to you, right now, 95% of your junk over there is literally junk that serves no purpose except to make tech bros billionaires. Yep, I said it, and I mean it, and it's true. Okay, here's our topics for today. Coastal Windage Potpourri. Smell that potpourri. That Windage Potpourri. Yes, very gamey. Once again, who owns the Medians in El Granada? This... really shouldn't even be a question. In fact, it's not a question. Everybody, including the county, knows what the answer is. And yet, just like the stupid Sam lawsuit that went on for years, in which everybody knows what the answer is, one party in this Medians thing is still trying to pretend like they don't know and there's some alternative universe where, maybe it's this way. No. It's pretty obvious, so we'll get to that once again. Who owns the Medians in El Granada? And so every week as we're doing our production meetings and our practices for the rehearsals for the show and everything, Frank asked me to send him a list of Foley sounds for the show, right? And I just like I don't. There's a million things. You know, this show takes forever, and there's all these moving parts, and so I forget. I wish that I had sent him the list, because right now we need the the bell sound from boxing. Ding, ding, ding.
Because
round one.
In this corner, for today's last topic, in this corner, out of Pescadero, standing at five council persons, it's PMAC, Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council, versus, in this corner, down to five members from seven and struggling, it's the Midcoast Community Council, PMAC versus MCC, a tale of two advisory councils here on the coast side. Okay, if we get to that, hopefully we will. All right, let's get to our air quality report. This is the only place you're getting this in real time, on the radio, live. Okay, this isn't some recording that we did at 4 in the morning or yesterday or whatever, where we have some other Hi, I'm doing the weather report. This is, you know, Joe Schmo out in the, standing on the pier in Pacifica with the waves crashing behind me with the air quality report. No. This is live right now, me and Crystalin. 0 to 50 on the scale is incredible. 51 to 100 is moderate, and we don't deal with anything off that scale because our air quality here is always amazing, as it is today in El Granada, 16, Half Moon Bay, 17, 37 in Redwood City, 33 in Santa Cruz. And today's Easter egg nugget for those who want to call in for some windage bucks. This one shouldn't be too hard to figure out if you just listen to the show. All will become clear, and you get a windage bucks if you call in. And this is over $100 worth of discounts at 13 local businesses, including Cameron's Pub, sponsor of this show. Okay, fire today in Fire Island, New York. 7. Fire Island coming in strong. Bringing the fire in Fire Island. Nice.
No, well, not bringing the fire.
No.
You're right. If it's, I mean, good. It's,
see, Crystalin, I'm...
I see what happened.
Yeah, I'm totally in tune with today's modern slang. Super with lingo. The kids. Yeah, I, you know, basically I'm considered a kid, right, by the kids, because I'm so hip. And so, yeah, that we're bringing the fire.
You're going to be like that little old lady in all the Adam Sandler movies that sings the hip hop.
Yeah, by the Sugar Hill Gang. Exactly. She's doing it. I have that record. I have that vinyl record, and I listen to it at least once a week on my record player. Yes,
Adam Sandler, you know, give us a call, 650-560-9851.
Do it, Sandler. Come on, dude. Okay. Here's the potpourri.
Oh, wait. Start off with a... So we have a super listener.
Oh.
His name is Todd, and I wanted to give a huge shout-out to Todd because he had his birthday this week. So happy birthday, Todd. We adore you.
Nice. Happy birthday, Todd. Thanks for listening. Appreciate that. Okay. Here's some of our potpourri. Update on Coastside Country. So this is the local line dancing club. We interviewed co-founders Carol Hunter and Hillary Stamper on our November 21st, 2025 show, which you can listen to. Go to khmbradio.com. Go to the show podcast tab. All of our shows are there, including our November 21st, 2025 show. Coastside Country is also featured in the January edition of Coastside Magazine. Coastside Country earned... they won a dance-off sponsored by the United States Lighthouse Society. So let's just back up for a minute because I know people are like, wait.
How do those two things go together?
What? Okay. The United States Lighthouse Society is a nonprofit historical and educational organization, and it organizes an annual Lighthouse Society's dance-off because, of course... Dancing in lighthouses as an annual competition where groups dance at lighthouses around the country to promote maritime heritage.
That's so fun. Can we just have some appreciation? I love it when people fulfill their mission, but they do it in just a really fun way that's kind of unexpected. That's really cool.
Yeah. And seeing the video that Coastside Country did, reinforces that feeling because it's a great shot. If you know Pigeon Point Lighthouse, which is where they did their dance down south here, there's a little arm of land that sticks out in there, dance on that right in front of the lighthouse. It's really cool. As part of this dance off, participants create enthusiastic videos, often featuring local line dancing or creative routines, to win prizes and raise awareness.
with winners receiving funds for their lighthouses. The goal is to celebrate lighthouses, boost tourism, and preserve their legacy through fun, creative videos. The participants are lighthouse enthusiasts. My mom is a lighthouse enthusiast. For several years, we would get little lighthouse
things
for Christmas. They are cool. I always had this fantasy that I would, like, live in a lighthouse. You know, like, that would be pretty
cool. I believe in the 70s they had an island for that.
Well, I don't want to live necessarily, you know, like, a lighthouse that's, like, buffed out to be, like, you know, like...
Superman cave.
Yeah, exactly.
The lighthouse version.
Yes, exactly. So the participants are lighthouse enthusiasts, local dance groups, and volunteers. Prizes are donations for lighthouse support. Coastside Country got $500 for Pigeon Point for being one of three co-winners, okay? And they shared the win with Cape Henry, Virginia, and, Fire Island, New York. All three tied for first place in 2025. Congrats to Hillary and Carol and the rest of Coastside Country. Really fun people and a really fun group and a great idea. And go check out their dance thing. I think it, I don't know, Instagram something. Go to Coastside Country. You'll find it. Okay. I was driving around in the Coastal Windage, you know, news van, as I often do, just seeing what's going on.
Looks a lot like the Scooby-Doo van.
I mean, or as some people have called it, the Silence of the Lambs murder van. But okay. I'll take that. Noah, the intern, just gave me a sidelong glance.
He's not like, seen it, though.
No, I'm not. Don't send me on any trips with Ruben by myself. I noticed the flag was at half mast at the Coastside Fire Protection District Station 41 in El Granada. And I thought, well, who died?
Oh, I noticed the same thing earlier this week at Pescadero.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to rack my brain, like, who died? Like, I find it hard to believe that it would be for the person that got killed by ice in Minnesota. I kind of wanted it to be that, but I figured, no, that's too obscure for out here. This is what we do, Coastside.
The research.
I got the interns on it, had one of the interns call over there, and we found out, breaking news, because, again, this is nowhere else to be found. These flags are being flown at half mast in honor of Cal Fire firefighter Daniel Cookie Cook from Riverside County, who died in the line of duty, unfortunately, on New Year's Eve. There was a house fire, and as part of the response, fire apparatus engineer Daniel Cook of the Cal Fire Riverside County Fire Department responded. Two occupants of the home had minor injuries and were saved. Daniel Cook lost his life. So definitely appreciate that our local firefighters are honoring that. This is, you know, first responders put their lives on the line for us. I appreciate that, and sorry to hear about Daniel Cook. Here's some more breaking news that we followed up on, because it's not on Coastside News and so nowhere else to be found with actual verified information. There was a shelter in place this week at the high school. Did you know that?
I do not have children.
Well, most people probably didn't. And wouldn't you like to know, like, why did this high school have a shelter in place? Whether you have children or not, what caused that? Well, the only reason that I, as a parent, found out was after the fact, a cryptic message was sent to, I guess, parents saying, quote, "We want to reassure you that all students and staff are safe and the shelter in place has since been lifted." What? What's this? Shelter in place, huh? I'm glad it's everything's fine. It's been lifted, but what? So, according to this email, a shelter in place may be used for a variety of precautionary reasons. In this instance, it allowed us to keep students safely in their classrooms while instruction continued and student privacy was protected. Again.
From what?
For what? So... that's what interns are for,
yeah.
Right? Because I asked my student, my son, who's a student there, who's in leadership and on the student council. He didn't know. Because they didn't tell them. Which...
was it maybe just a test?
No, it was not a test.
Darn.
But they didn't tell these kids, and I'm sorry, but if you want full buy-in, full participation, I know that when I'm not, when I'm just told to just move along and do it, and I'm not, well, you're not important enough, or you can't handle the information.
Well, it depends on if that would incite, if it would incite panic, because that's also not helpful.
Well, I think saying we're in lockdown and not telling anybody what it's about could also
incite. Yes.
Okay, so the students didn't know. Like, we had the interns call the high school. We got a call back. It was for a student was having a medical emergency, and they decided to close all the other students in the classrooms to protect the privacy of the student. And I don't feel strongly about that. It's a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. What is the, you know, when you're in a medical emergency, as I have been recently, and been laying there where they literally cut all my clothes off and I'm laying naked in front of 10 strangers who are first responders.
But those, yes.
But
there's a difference between first responders
but
and
what, why,
other kids.
I just, what it, and me, having at some point in my school career soiled myself at school, right, as I'm pretty sure everybody has at some point if we talk about from kindergarten on. I mean, okay, stuff happens. If you're having a medical emergency, like, really, do we have to shut the whole school down and put everybody in because it was told it was for privacy protection? Are we talking privacy or dignity?
Because it could be both, because it also depends on what the medical emergency was, right? It's like,
well, what would make the difference? Well, what would be something where we would need to have everybody locked down in a way?
I don't want to put anything on this kid, so yeah, I'm not saying that this is what happened.
Yeah.
But if somebody had tried to harm themselves, that would be something that they would not want the other students to know about. I would assume that it was something more than they fell and broke their leg.
But let me ask you this. Okay, yes, good. Those are okay. But don't, it's a high school with kids. Don't you think within minutes all the kids are going to know this anyways? They're going to know. Somebody's going to know this kid or know their family.
Yeah. But I would also venture to guess that if, let's just say this kid, whatever happened, let's say it happened in the quad and it's kind of like in an open space.
Yeah.
Also keeping the other kids in their classrooms is going to help them not gather around, make it difficult for the first responders to come in and out and all of that. Like, there's also an obstruction possibility for why. I totally get it, and I respect it.
Keep
the kids in the room. Let the first responders do what they do. Let the other kid, if they're cognizant, if they're awake. There's so much pressure on kids. Like, I remember when I was in school how much pressure I felt, and it is 1,000 times worse now with everything else. I mean, thank goodness there was not social media when I was in school.
Okay, there you go. Now you've seized upon the one thing that make me be like, because all of what you were saying, I'm shaking my head of like, you know what, kids are soft today. Like, they need to know this stuff. This is the real world. First responders are used to Okay, you hit on something that to me resonates a little bit, which is in this age of pervasive social media everywhere in everything. So, yeah, you're a kid.
Crisis.
And you're having a crisis. And now there's 1,500 kids.
1,000 photos.
With phones right in your face, taking pictures, putting it up on the web, making memes out of it, whatever. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so if that was the but I guess my larger beef would be the lack of information and the lack of transparency. These are teenagers, and we are adult parents. We can handle it. Tell us this information. Don't send me a cryptic after the fact. By the way, there was a, you know, full shutdown of the school. Kids locked in their classrooms.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Move
at
along.
At least throw in there was a medical emergency. Like, you probably wouldn't have even thought twice about it, receiving it after the fact, being like, there was a medical emergency.
I think I would have still been like, do we have to shut down the whole school? But if there was some, so that there's not a bunch of video of this person having a crisis on social media and stuff. Okay. So a little bit more of an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sam Liccardo, our U.S. representative, who we had on the show a few weeks ago. I just want to
I know it seemed like I'm doing a lot of Sam Liccardo stuff, but he's killing it right now. And this is our U.S. representative for that represents us. So this week, the president of the United States announced he plans to withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities or states that have so-called sanctuary cities in them. This includes our state, California. And why is this pertinent to the coast side? Well, because Sam Liccardo's involved. He's our representative. We're Californians paying federal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the president wants to withhold federal funds from California. Okay.
I wish that meant that we didn't have to pay the federal part of our payroll tax, of our, like, income tax.
Right. Well, this is an...
Like, I don't get a choice to not put it in.
This is just a non-presidential thing to do and say. But in response, our congressperson, Sam Liccardo, released the following statement. Quote, California is the largest donor state to the federal government. In fiscal year 24, we paid $275.6 billion more to the federal government than we received in federal aid. So plus $276 billion. Any attempt to cut off our tax dollars from coming back home will be met with fierce legal action. You know what? You're darn skippy, Sam Liccardo. Thank you for saying that. California is the sixth largest economy, the most populous state in the union, and a massive donor to the federal treasury. As a Californian who helps support the rest of the country, especially recipient states who receive federal, who receive more federal money than they contribute, I don't appreciate the threat, and I'm very proud that our U.S. representative has the courage and common sense to call this BS out. Mm-hmm. Plus $276 billion to the federal treasury, and somebody's going to stand up there and say, we're going to cut you off. You know what? Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. If our local representatives give permission to not pay into that system, I will be first in line.
Do it, dude. Because.
And I would gladly, like, if there was an option to say, hey, your income tax is now just going to go, like, the state, and then increase the state income tax to help with the things that are missing there, like, I would do that. Like, I don't necessarily like want to get ahead on my paycheck or anything. I just want my money to stay local.
Yep. All right. Okay. So we're still in the potpourri. This is your account. A cacao ceremony and gathering, the Be Love gathering and ceremony featuring the I need some like harp music again. Be Love Gathering and Ceremony featuring the plant medicine of cacao.
Cacao!
Okay, I've heard of the medicinal value of the cocoa plant, but cacao, what's that? Chocolate, right?
I think so.
It's like the plant that chocolate comes from. Okay, so this...
I feel like anything that starts with cocoa has got to be chocolate-related.
Yes, totally. Okay, so this is some... I saw this, I think, on 411.com or something. So what is this? Do you know anything about this thing?
I don't know like the particulars, but I believe this is from the Venture Retreat Center, which is a little bit south of us.
Yep.
And they're just like a very cool space that they do all kinds of interesting like workshops and seminars, and it's also an event space if you want to get wild in the woods. Yeah, so they posted this to our calendar. So coastside411.com, we have a calendar that any local business or nonprofit can post their events to, and we will send it out to the masses.
Okay, so this is, the Venture Retreat Center off of Cloverdale Road, south of Pescadero. This is February 8th, which is Super Bowl Sunday, so I guess there won't be a lot of football watchers there.
Believe it or not, I mean, I will be watching the game, and I will actually be watching the game from another state. But, there are people out there who are not going to watch the game, and they will
be slathering themselves with chocolate.
They'll be eating chocolate.
Retreat. So this is February 8th, 3 to 6 p.m. It costs $89. Here's what to expect. Join with like-minded lovers and guides, Leah and Jeremy, to create a transmission of love energy throughout the universe. What to expect? Sound Bowl meditation, celebratory dance, and sharing of a warm, delicious cacao.
Which, if nobody has done Sound Bowls, okay, I am not super, like, into, like, you know, meditation and, like, those kinds of things. I probably should think about it. But I did get the chance to do Sound Bowls at Swell Yoga, and I went in pretty, like, oh, I'm just going to do this for the sake of it. And it was actually really cool. It, like, it makes, it, like, vibrates, and it's, like, this very cool sounds. And anyways, if anybody has any interest in Sound Bowls, I would recommend it. It is actually really relaxing, even for somebody who typically cannot relax to save their life.
That being you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, none of this sounds like something that, I mean, I love chocolate, but I love eating it. I don't like celebrating. Celebrating it is eating it. Yum. Okay, but here's more from the posting about this. Hold on. Whether love is a verb, a feeling, a choice, or just an all-around vibe, all capital letters, vibe, we're gathering to celebrate it. Exclamation point. And to mark the coming sweetheart season. Okay, this makes sense now.
Yep, intro okay. to Valentine's.
Yep, yep. And to mark the coming sweetheart season with mindfulness. Can't stand that word. Cannot stand mindfulness. Cannot stand, what's the other word? Manifesting. No, no mindfulness, no manifesting. But anyways, and to mark the coming sweetheart season with mindfulness, warmth, and genuine connection. Okay. That makes sense as a cool thing to do pre-Valentine's Day. Go there, slather yourself in chocolate with your loved one, and get weird after that. Okay, that sounds kind of cool. Not for me, not on Super Bowl Sunday, but you know what? That does sound cool, and the Venture property looks very cool.
It is. Yeah. I got to tour it once. Okay. It's pretty neat.
How many minutes we got here? 3 minutes. Okay, let's do this. Ditch the ding-dong. Okay, you know how everybody's complains about fireworks in El Granada? Like, there's always these fireworks. Well, periodically, there'll be a spate of posts on Nextdoor about regarding the local Utes DDDing, as they say, which is ding-dong ditching. Okay, which...
That's
which,
so 80s. I love it.
Yeah, right? I mean, this seems to be especially...
How do you even ding-dong ditch with Ring cameras?
Because kids today are kids, and they just do it, and then like, oh, what, there's a camera there? Oh, okay.
Things were so much easier in the 80s and
90s. They were. I mean, right? Toilet paper, a house, nobody knows who did it. This ding-dong ditching seems especially to be centered in El Granada, and seems to be something that gets carried forward. I know when my son was around 7th grade or 8th grade, a bunch of his buddies and stuff, and they did it a few times.
It's classic.
It gets passed
it's
on.
It's classic shenanigans.
Okay, but, with social media has to ruin everything. So, yes, it's a rite of passage for seemingly young adolescent, pre-adolescent boys. It's a, they click the, ding the door, but... Social media has to make it worse. There's a door kick challenge brought to you by TikTok.
Oh,
in
no.
Which, yes, it's not just go and ring the door and run away and laugh. Hee, hee, hee. It's to kick or aggressively bang on random residential doors really late at night and then run away and then come and do it again and again.
That's like when TikTok had that thing about like ruining movie theaters, and then there was one about ruining bathrooms.
Right.
Like, geez Louise.
Yes, exactly. And though reminiscent of the traditional ding-dong ditch prank, this challenge has now escalated to significant property damage because it's like kicking in the door. And I'm sorry, like, for the most part, I'm like, it's just kids doing kid stuff. But when you're kicking in the door, especially now when we have federal agents kicking in doors with masks and no uniforms, and somebody's kicking in your door late at night, intentionally trying to do damage, you're going to freak out. And here's what I'm going to say.
Some kid's going to get shot.
Kids and their parents. Somebody is going to come to that door with a shotgun, shooting first and asking questions later.
Yep.
And some kid is going to get killed. And that's what parents, where's your kid at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night?
hopefully they're not out about to take a shotgun blast to the face because they're kicking in somebody's door. Okay, let's take a commercial break. And we'll be right back.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back.
Oh, yes. I wanted to give a shout-out to Senior Co-Siders. On, I believe, Wednesday it was, they had a sweet little get-together launching their new logo, and they've got a 5-year strategic plan and all of these really great things. And the new logo is so cute.
What does it look like?
It's one of those logos where you can see multiple things. So
hold on, it's not one of these like look at the poster. No. I never was able to do that.
It's only made up of three little individual little graphics, but you can see a heart, you can see a whale's tail, you can see a bird, you can see two little hands, and it's kind of a darkish navyish blue. Or for the water to represent water in the coastside, and then there's some orange to represent our love of all things orange and pumpkins, and green for our natural resources and things like that. And ultimately, it all represents, you know, caring for one another in the community. But it was really nicely done. It's very thoughtful and just continues to show that, you know, Senior Co-Siders is just one of those nonprofits that we have that, you know, very similar to, you know, Coastside Hope and Puente and Alas
and
Boys and Girls Club. Like, always pushing forward, never just feeling like, well, we've done it. We're doing our thing and we're just going to keep it, you know, even and, you know, just trudge on. Like, always trying to think of the next thing. They have some really wonderful, lofty goals. I think they said they're up to something insane, like 60,000 meals a year given, and just all of these crazy cool stats. And anyways, it was just a wonderful, heartfelt event. You can just really tell how the staff and the board and the volunteers of Senior Co-Siders are really passionate about what they do. They honored a staff member that's been there for 30 years. They honored a volunteer who's been there for 30 years. And it was just really, really sweet. And it was a really wonderful way to have the middle of the week kind of go. So congratulations, and if you get a chance, check out their new logo and their new swag, and it's really cool.
Okay, Senior Co-Siders, I probably shouldn't ask this question because this has been all feel good and I'm all on board. Do we know who designed the logo? Hopefully AI wasn't involved. And it was
no, it was a local graphic design company.
What was the company?
Big Fish, something like that.
Okay, but a local company.
Yeah. They were there. They were very nice.
I mean, that's really important because you get those elements that you're talking about.
Yes.
That represent what makes the coastside, and what makes us love the coastside.
Yeah. Well,
good on Senior Co-Siders. Good job. Okay, here we go. Once again, who owns the medians in El Granada?
At this point, I do. I'm just gonna.
You have as good a claim as anybody. Since this is all just
play structures for everybody.
BS that's being thrown out by the county. But we tried to do this a couple of weeks ago, but it was too meaty, and we had to kick it down the road. So here we are. Which is over the holiday break, several trees in El Granada, medians came down, some on houses and cars, and that begs the question, who's responsible, right?
Yeah.
Because these are in the medians. They're not in people's yards. They're in the medians, which there's people's yards, sidewalk, paved street, median.
And some of those trees are so tall.
Right. There's some work that needs to be done there. But guess what? Work is being done there and has been done in those medians since 1908 by the county. Seems like pretty clear chain of ownership and
responsibility, but...
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
We'll see. Okay. Right? Okay. So, who's responsible? Again, now I wish I had, like, the wavy when they have, like, the go back and...
Okay, like, the Wayne's like, World.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Wayne's World, exactly. Or the Twilight Zone. Do my Rod Serling. This is one real Camus-esque journey inside the bureaucratic machine. Okay. this issue about who owns the medians in El Granada was discussed in detail with supporting documents at both the 12-18-25 GCSD meeting and, again, to a lesser extent, at last night's GCSD meeting. You can check out the video of these meetings on CoastSideBuzz.com to get the full flavor. But let's just, as we have went into the Wayback Machine, back in 2016, Granada Community Services District was looking into developing the medians into little parklets with walking trails, benches, and active recreation installations. Mm-hmm. Now, there was some pushback from some adjacent landowners, residents, who, you know, couldn't stand the idea of the sound of kids laughing and balls bouncing and stuff like that. And so put up some resistance. And the county took that up and responded with their argument at the time, which they're still clinging to, that no, GCSD, you cannot develop these medians because the property owners of the houses across the paved street from the medians, actually their property line goes all the way out to the middle of the median, so the earth in the middle of the medians. Now, most people, your property records show that your property actually goes to the middle of your paved street, and there's a maintenance easement that whatever municipality you live in has for the, usually for the sidewalks, although Half Moon Bay has some weird thing where they're trying to put that on homeowners, sidewalks, and the street, there's a maintenance easement, so because you're not going to maintain the street. Mm-hmm. The county or the city or whatever is going to maintain the street. And that's widely understood.
If I ever own a house, my little piece of sidewalk and pavement will turn pink real fast. I will start a patchwork situation.
Well, as listeners know, I have battled with the county. I have a vegetated bioswale in the gutter outside my house with an unmowed meadow that serves as a wildlife corridor that I have to battle with the county with, because they come in with their weed whackers once a year to just blast everything to the ground, and I have to defend my bioswale. So you can customize. But the county's saying that property owners, you own to the middle of the medians. However, you cannot do anything with that. You cannot trim the trees. You cannot plant a garden. You cannot put a bench there. So, wait a minute. I own this property, this land, this actual real estate, physical dirt in the median. You're saying I'm owning it. I'm, I guess, responsible for it, but I can't do anything. And you've been taking care of it since 1908. Explain to me in what world that makes sense. Okay, so that was the county's position in 2016, that the property owners own to the center line of the medians. There are no property records or deeds that show this. In fact, the opposite. And this is where, like, county, this is just such a BS argument, and everybody knows it, including the county, who kind of like shrugs when they say it, but kind of like, but a shrug with like, and what are you going to do about it? You know, okay. The El Granada subdivisions were established and recorded in 1908. And in that document, the plat document, roads and other, quote-unquote, public space was ceded to the county and duly recorded. Quote, the county, this is from the plat document recorded in 1908. The county of San Mateo, acting through its board of supervisors duly assembled, has accepted and does hereby accept for and on behalf of the said county of San Mateo and the public, all of the highways, streets, avenues, alleys, and public places set forth, shown, and described within. This is the recorded plat of subdivision number 3, Granada, San Mateo County, accepted August 3, 1908. Seems pretty straightforward. And GCSD responding to the county's position on July 16, 2016,
had a legal opinion document authored by their counsel, Natalie Kirkish, that cites this exact plat and argues that the county owns the median. In this position, legal position letter by Natalie Kirkish, she writes, in the original 1908 subdivision map, the lots are not shown as going to the middle of the streets, and the map refers to the dedication of, quote, public places, which historical records make clear were references to the tree-planted median circles and plazas. Thus, a fee interest was dedicated to the county, and at that time, and there is no interest retained by the adjoining property owners. She further writes, the 1908 subdivision map and the county's acceptance thereof indicate that the county accepted the dedication of the medians as public places, thus granting the county a fee interest in the medians, circles, and plazas. GCSD also has, in support of their argument, an article written by local historian Dave Olson confirming this historical documentation. Per last night in their meeting, GCSD in-house counsel William Parkin confirmed that that's GCS position, that the county owns the property, and according to William Parkin, quote, and any other legal position doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's exactly right, unquote. The county has actually never provided a written legal position or argument. They have some vague emails and some mumblings about how they don't owe the median. This is from Nicholas Calderon, who at the time was the interim real property manager for San Mateo County. This is in July of 2016. He's now, I don't know what his title is now, but he was county parks director.
Deputy county manager.
Right. So office. Nicholas writes in 2016, the district has not reached out to the specific adjacent property owners who own to the center line of the right of ways in question as to whether they support improvements. This is of particular concern, as it is not clear that county has property rights and would allow all of the planned improvements, and getting support from adjacent owners would minimize risk. This is what the county's thing is all about. They don't want to do it, and so they're throwing up roadblocks. As this is the sum total of the county's position statement on these medians. This one email where Nicholas writes, adjacent property district has not reached out to specific adjacent property owners who own to the center line of the rights of ways in question as to whether they support improvements. It is not clear that the county has property rights. That is the sum total of their legal arguments. Not a legal argument. It's not a legal position paper. It's an email. So, but the county is relying on this to forestall anything happening there. County claims that the property owners own to the center line of the medians. Okay. So right now, the GCSD is still trying to do something with these medians. It's a good idea, and why not? But for any kind of activity to happen in these medians, mm-hmm. GCSD needs an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, with the property owners to be able to go forward with whatever they're going to do. So an MOU is required. For such an MOU to be signed with the county must acknowledge ownership, a.k.a. the authority, to provide access rights concessions per the medians to GCSD. This is what the county is asking GCSD to do. Go to every single property owner and get them to agree to it. And that's the poison pill, because the county knows on the Midcoast, you're not going to get every single person to agree that there is a sky, let alone that it is blue. Mm-hmm. So that they know that that's a non-starter. And why are they putting this on GCSD? They want them to go door to door.
El Granada people, they like to show their chutzpah. So I wouldn't be surprised if you could get the people around one particular median to agree and just like start with one median.
That's interesting.
What, 10?
Well, you're going to have both sides.
Right, so that's like, what, 10 or 12 families and individuals.
Good luck considering some of these individuals.
Dear El Granada, talk to your neighbors.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you've gotten a consensus that all of your neighbors that would technically surround one of the medians, let us know. We'll connect you with GCSD.
Let me also say, no. This is the county intentionally.
So then go around it.
GCSD has one.
Let them throw a road.
One, you know what the best person.
Thing? You know what the best thing about a thrown roadblock is?
Yeah.
Breaking it down.
Well, this is coming from the person that has an awesome 4x4 lifted up Bronco.
I'll drive right through it.
I know you will, but me and my little like Geo Metro. It's going to be hard to get through that.
One of my favorite things in the whole wide world is technical compliance. You want to tell me what can and can't be done in an effort to make something not happen? Great. I'm going to figure out how to play by your rules. You set the rules. I'll play by them. And then you're not going to like the result because you thought you were going to stop me and you're not.
Well, GCSD and its board are rules followers, and they're trying to do the right thing here. And the county is, again, they don't even have an official legal position on this. They're just throwing up chaff. And that, well, you know, GCSD they can't sign an MOU with the county without a resolution to this. Who owns this? The county's saying you got to go to everybody. So there can be no MOU until this is resolved.
Okay. Find a median. Go talk to those people. Again, if you think, dear El Granada people, if El Granadians, if you think that you and your neighbors would love your little surround, your little island, to be beautified in some kind of a way, then let us know that if you think you have consensus. This is what block parties are made for.
I know, but you've been to enough MCC meetings. This community cannot.
There's 30 people. There's 30 people in this community who love to talk very loudly and like to be.
Why are you looking at me when you say
that? And like to be anti anything and everything. And that's their thing. That's their jam. That's what they want to do. There's like 30 to 50 of them, honestly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I do not think that of all of the islands and medians in El Granada, I think you could find at least one where the six people on either side of it would be like, yes, I have kids. I would love to have a cool little thing there, or oh, I would love to have a little trail there, or whatever. It could be something small.
Okay. Logic says that of the 12 to 15 medians that we have, let's say there's 12 property owners per each median, but the numbers don't support you because that's less than 10% has to say no. And it's a no-go because every single person, all 12, would have to say yes.
For one median.
For one median. And I'm saying that only takes less than 10% to say no and the deal's quashed because it has to be unanimous. It's a poison pill that the county has set up to further forestall this. So,
I hear a gauntlet being thrown.
Yes.
And El Granada residents, I urge you to take up that gauntlet.
Well, I'm going to make GCSD, here we go. I would counter that the standard arrangement is the middle of the road, right? Yeah. The middle of the road. So, yes, El Granada property owners own to the middle of the paved road that touches their property, their front yard. And where the medians are, it's a one-way road on each side. So it makes no sense. These are one-way roads. One-way, on one side. So the legal argument of county makes no sense in that the road is not all the way across the median to the other side of the pavement. It's your strip of asphalt in front of your house, of which the median is the other side. So you own to the middle of that strip of asphalt. The county owns from the middle of that strip to the through
middle
the median
the
to the middle of the other strip. It's pretty simple. Okay, so that seems pretty clear. But here's what else is clear. The county is and has been responsible for the median since 1908. That is clearly documented. Also clear, the county does not want to formally acknowledge or budget for medians. That is also clear. The county wants GCSD to do all the work involved in this by going door to door. And unfortunately, this is what is most clear. somebody is going to have to sue the county over this before the county does anything. That's what they're doing. They have got an entrenched position. Yeah, they're hoping they know that's not going to happen, what you suggested. That's why they threw it out there, because it's never going to happen. And so they know the only way anybody's moving them off this mark is to sue them. And that's what that's the gauntlet they've thrown down, and they're just going to shrug their shoulders and go, until somebody sues them and brings this a legal judgment on this. And it just, like the Sam lawsuit, it's just ridiculous, and it breeds the cynicism that leads to our next topic. Well, we got a bazillion emails, but I guess we should get to this topic. Although this is a potpourri episode, so should we kick Tale of Two Advisory Councils till next week?
Sure.
Or should we try to tackle this?
Let's do some emails.
All right, let's do some emails. Okay.
The councils will be there next week.
All right. Well, next week we have Phil Plath on. He's a cyclist and a recovering accident victim from a dog-related bicycling accident. Oof. Phil's injuries were as extensive and even worse than my own.
Aww.
And so he's still recovering from that. So I don't know if I want to bring harsh his mellow with this neck. Man, we might have to kick it to another week.
The councils will be around.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have this ready to go when we had Greg Diegas, former MCC. But maybe it's not good because we're pitting PMAC against MCC, so we can't have, you know, a biased guest on. Okay, here we go. Here's some emails. Random emails. I just had the interns just literally grab one from each of the bags over there and see what we got. This one's from Booker 3 on the tree. Okay. Brooks Falls. Get Mike Kahn on this show as a guest! I've lived in Pacifica for 57 years. You got to bang the gavel. I've lived in Pacifica for 57 years, and I've never heard of this waterfall. Is he that good, or am I that clueless? I think Mike Kahn is that good. I've lived here for a long time too. I never heard of this waterfall before either. Have you ever heard of this waterfall before?
No, but I'm not a nature person.
Okay. Brooks Falls, as Mike Kahn has identified, is a thin, wispy, ephemeral waterfall tucked into a crevice on the north side of Montera Mountain in San Pedro County Park. And Mike Kahn, who I guess the emailer referenced, of Pacific has created some local guides for exploring the local outdoors under the brand Explore Local Nature. You can go to guides.explorelocalnature.com. And so this is what Booker 3 on the tree is saying, is get this person on the show. I think that's a great idea. Interns, right, Mike Kahn. We're going to see if we can get Mike Kahn on to talk about other places that we may not know about, even though we've lived here for 57 years. Okay. This one, sometimes they're funny, like Booker 3 on the tree, but this one is, it feels like spam. Like, I don't know if I want to read them.
Have you renewed your car warranty?
Your prescription has expired. This is from XJ4 at TH. @hotmail.com.
Ooh.
Doesn't that sound like a spam email thing? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Hotmail even exists still. It's crazy.
Excuse me. I have a Hotmail. Which is wonderful to have because I've had it since 1997. And people that I've lost track of over the last 30 years will occasionally get back in touch with me because I got the same email account for 30 years. Yeah. Yeah. Hotmail. Still bringing it. But this is not a spam because the subject line is Obispo Road Sucks.
Oh, there you go.
It does. Okay, from XJ, we'll just call this person XJ4, writes, here's an idea to solve the Obispo Road problem without costing the county a bunch of money. Just change the name from Obispo to Rocky. Done and done.
That's brilliant.
All right. Okay, that's a good one, Hotmail. Maybe we should create a list for the county of possible suggestions. We've got Rocky Road, Holy, because it's got Holy Road, Rough, That's what road do you live on? We live on rough road. Oh, well, Obispo? No, it's called rough now. Okay, I mean, I kind of like that. We could have a whole campaign per your like senior co-signers. Let's El Granadians, you got a list of things like, you know, gather around and see if we can get 12 adjacent homeowners to agree to, you know, cede ownership of their median property. And then while you're at it,
make
a list of possible names for Obispo Road. We've got Rocky, Holy, and Rough so far. Okay. All right. This one is from listener Leonardo de Jetson, 1586. Okay. Somebody spent a long time trying to think of that one. Leonardo de Jetson. Subject line, flying cars. That's the part where
I was going to say, it's like
together.
In the past and the future.
Yeah. Leonardo de Jetson, 1586, subject line, flying cars. Reuben, why is it all, why, I already know. If it's addressed to me and it starts off with my name, it's poking at me or, you know, like criticizing. How come no? We never get an email addressed to you? Crystalline, why did you say that? All right. Reuben, get off their lawn. Humans have been trying to get flying cars off the ground since they invented the wheel. It's human nature. And just like all the other great inventions over the years, it will find its place eventually. Oh, okay, this is definitely a poking, or like an intentional. Because this email makes no sense. Really? Just like all other great invention, this is a great invention, a flying car. It will find its place eventually. Great other great inventions like
airplanes,
nuclear weapons, social media, segways, great inventions like those that have found their place. Yeah, just because tech bros, just because you invent something doesn't mean it's great. No, those are not two things that are always together.
Flying cars are inevitable. Inevitable.
So's death.
Yes.
Not looking forward to either one.
Death and taxes have been inevitable since 1776.
You know what? I don't mind taxes because they help the public good, the greater good. Taxes are a good thing. You shouldn't skirt your taxes, billionaires.
How did you get here today?
Yeah, public roads.
In your...
In
car?
My terrestrial-based vehicle. Yes.
Okay.
That was following roadways and laws.
Yes. And so eventually there will be ways and laws for flying cars. Did you watch The Fifth Element? I really want you to watch that movie.
That is a lesser science fiction movie. Not even a good science fiction movie.
How dare you, sir.
And here's the thing about there'll be laws. Why aren't there laws now? There are no laws now. This whole thing.
Ones are just getting off the ground.
No, then get it off the ground first before you start selling it to people. They're already taking money for these things and talking about delivery in the next year. These flying cars by Aleph, that's the name of the company. These flying cars, because they're trying to skirt all these rules, and you don't, in order to not require people in these flying cars to have a pilot's license, even though they're going to be flying around in the air, they don't have to have a pilot's license because they've classified these as ultralights and they can only go 25 miles per hour on the ground. So they're not even cars. You can't commute to work in this car, even though they
said. It's a golf cart.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Half
Moon Bay Golf Course. You should get on that.
So yeah. So you can't drive it on the freeway to work. And this is from their stupid website. The assumption is that if a driver needs a faster route, faster than 25 miles an hour,
they'll go in the sky.
A driver will use Aleph's flight capabilities and just rise up out of traffic. Uh-huh. It's designed to drive on the street, take off vertically when needed, and fly overhead above traffic. Oh, my God. This is just idiotic. Idiocy hasn't reached its climax yet until this statement. We're building the solution to the issues of modern congestion. So anyways, there's no pilot license required. There's not one word in the California driver's handbook about flying vehicles. So there's no it's Thunderdome out there. There's no rules.
I hope that you win the lottery so that you can buy your own private island and live the analog terrestrial life that you really, really want.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Sounds good to me. All right. Are we out of here? We have time for one more email. Or are we out of here? No? Yeah. See, Frank is running hard on Noah, our second engineer. Like, Noah would have said yes. Frank's over there glowering at him.
Noah
like, no.
had the polite no.
I know. And Frank would have just, like, given me the finger. Okay. So next week we have Phil Plath, local cyclist, recovering from an injury. We're going to compare injury notes. So don't get hurt between now and then, Crystalline, but think of, like, your...
Oh, I have a rollerblading accident.
Nice. Nice. Speaking of the 90s. Okay. Nice. Okay. Well, that's been Coastal Windage for today. Feel better?
Yes,
I do
always.
Feel a little better, yeah. Okay.
It's very cathartic.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And we will be back next Friday with Phil and Crystalline and me and Noah and Frank and the interns right here on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.